heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
This is the fight of a lifetime, is the best thing I can say to you. Let me read you this from de Tocqueville, Democracy in America. You know, I reference him often. He says, everybody feels the evil, but no one has courage or energy enough to seek the cure. And that is exactly the fight of evil that we talk about all the time. You know, you take a look at some of the statistics and what's happening with Christianity around the world, and it is absolutely staggering, some of the numbers here. The Hudson Institute reports that about 345 Christians are killed for faith-based reasons, and 105 churches or Christian buildings are burned or attacked. We're talking about 1 in 9 Christians experience persecution of some sort. And this is on a monthly basis. They're talking about every month, 345 Christians are killed for faith-based reasons, and all of these hundreds of churches are burned or attacked. Now, this is a global fight. It's a global fight of good versus evil that I talk about all the time with you. But it's more than that, people. And I want to peel that discussion and that onion with you today. I'd like to do it with a voice we haven't heard in some time, but please welcome in Eben Tranholm. Eben Tranholm is an expert on the crossroads of religion and politics. She is a theologian, a journalist, and columnist from Denmark. She's the founder of her own YouTube channel called Tranholm Talks, where she gives accounts of current affairs with a spiritual twist, and that sounds really interesting to me. One religious freedom expert, Eben, had this to say, and I want to read this to you. We sell ourselves short. We don't ever defend Christians. We always have higher priorities regarding terror. We don't understand there's a link between the two. The weakness of those Christians makes them a very soft target. And the governments don't feel any pressure coming from us. They feel pressure coming from one side, and that's the extremists. And you know, those words I just say to you are from Nina Shea. She's the director of the Center for Religious Freedom of the Hudson Institute. And the reason I start with that is because it's true. I believe it's true, and I want to ask you your feelings on it. But it seems to me even the extremists are the ones that get the attention, and sometimes in a weird, odd sort of way, they seem to sometimes get the sympathy from leaders. I know that sounds weird, but what's your take on that?
Well, in my opinion, it's not so much a political struggle, but it's more spiritual warfare that we see in the world today. And I think it's very difficult to understand what's going on in the world today if you don't have a spiritual perspective. So what we're seeing, like you just said before, we have this global fight between good and evil. And unfortunately, it seems like evil is very, very aggressive. And why is evil allowed to be so aggressive in our times? I think it's because the faith has gone out, especially from the West, or we have abandoned the faith. So when the faith is not there anymore, evil can prevail. And this is what we see. So because people in the West, they have stopped going to church, they have stopped praying, they don't have any faith. So it means that evil has all the means to really expand. And unfortunately, we see everywhere in the world a war on Christianity. We see Christians that are, you know, being killed. And within the Western countries, it is Christianity that is being killed in the culture. So it's everywhere. And I think Christianity is, of course, the ultimate force of good, because it is the channel of God's love. So there is a war on goodness and love. And we see that everywhere. So, and you can, and I mean, you can't fight that only with politics. You need faith, you need a faith life, and you need Christians to fight this fight, or to deal with this battle, because politicians can certainly not anymore. It's simply it has gone too far, and it is really, really, really a very serious war between good and evil.
Let me take the point of what you say right there and say this. Now, from I've looked at a lot of different numbers on the attacks to Christians on a global scale, and estimates that I see here have been about 500 church attacks in the last less than a couple of years now. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Egypt, there are local Muslim extremist groups attacking churches with impunity. In Nigeria, for instance, an estimated 900 church attacks happened in a five-year period. That's documented. My question, based on what you just said about the fact, okay, government, and that really is the good and evil, and I'm with you on that. This is something I preach on this show, on the Voice of a Nation, on a regular basis. But here's even the bigger question. Why do we not see, then, if that's the case, more church leaders and Christians come out and talk about this? Because honestly, what I hear is virtually silence from them. Why is that?
Because of fear. I think that a lot of Christians today are more, I would say, ruled by fear than faith. And they're afraid of political correctness, they're afraid of Muslims, they're afraid of a lot of things, and maybe they don't have a very strong faith. So it means that they're not ready to get killed themselves or to be socially marginalized to say this, because it is against political correctness and you might offend Muslims. So it's better just to keep quiet and not say anything. But it is basically because we talk a lot about that Islam, spreads a lot of fear. But I think that the fear is loose also within the Christian communities, because this is about all about fear. They don't really dare to do anything about it. And this is very tragic, because everywhere in the Bible it says, do not fear. So we should not be afraid. And you also see within Christian communities in the Middle East, where it's very dangerous to be a Christian, you see a lot of Christians that have no fear, because they have already decided that they're willing to die for the faith. So, and this is where the church is growing. And this is just, a complete paradox. In the West, where we have all the means to spread the gospel and we have all these churches that are still open, nothing happens. But in the Middle East, where it's very, very dangerous to be in Pakistan and Iran and Iraq and Syria, where it's very, very dangerous, you see that the church is growing. You see people who are willing to die for the faith. And it has always been like that within Christianity, that whenever people were willing to sacrifice something and they were not governed by fear, the gospel spread, they were able to spread the gospel. But we're dead, because we don't have any faith, and we're governed by fear.
Yeah. What you say is profound, really. It just is really a profound moment for me as I listen to you, because I think you're right when you suggest and you put out there the fear. And as you say, there are a lot of reasons and measures. You can size fear up differently for everybody. Everybody's got a different reason for fear. But here's the problem. If fear is the lack of motivation from church leaders and from Christians, and there's something to that probably, then with this whole fight of good and evil, what worries me is this: the extremists and the people that are doing the harm, these people are opposite of that. They're fearless. And let me say this, if you're going to have a fight of good versus evil, and you spelled out, well, it tells you not to fear throughout the Bible, to have faith. Fear and faith are on opposite sides of this conversation. Now, this is interesting, because if they're fearless, I think doesn't that give the extremists and the enemy the edge versus, again, what we're talking about right now with Christian leaders and Christians everywhere? Isn't that the case?
I'm not so sure that they're fearless, because Islam...
Oh, I think they are.
Yeah, but still, what you would call an extremist within the Islamic faith would kill because he's afraid that God would not be happy with him. So he's also governed by fear. It's just a different sort of fear. Because I know...
They're willing to die, though, even. They're willing to go. Yeah. Well, that's kind of, as far as this earth goes and our people, humanity goes, that's fearless.
Well, they actually are ready to die, because otherwise they would be afraid that God would not let them into paradise. So it's a different kind of fear. It's completely perverted, but it is the way they think.
I like what you say there. Hold on. That perverted fear. Now, I like how you size that up, right? The perverted fear. If that's the case, though, I still want to say to you, I would debate with you back and say, I think that gives listen, I'm just going to put it out there. Based on what we're talking about right now, I mean, if you size it up with what we've just said, I think evil, you could argue, let me put it this way, you could argue the point even that evil has the edge based on what we just said. And I want to put it that way. I'm not saying they have the edge, but you could argue that point, could you not?
Yeah. I think they are actually very much acting in a very evil way, mm-hmm. because they are, mm-hmm. they're working for evil, so to say.
That's right.
So that's why they might not appear to be fearful, but they are working for forces that wants to spread fear. So it is within a fear context that they're doing this.
Yeah. And even what we're saying right now is to me and my space and my world is huge. This is the flashpoint of this whole conversation right here is this fight. When we talk about all of this, and I mean, this fearless and fear versus faith. But the driving message has got to be, correct me on this, please, but has got to be a warning signal or message to, well, church leaders and to Christians everywhere. And when I say church leaders, I'm talking about all denominations. Let me make that clear. I'm not talking about just one. I'm talking about just Catholic. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about Christianity, which there's a lot that falls into that. I just want to make sure we know that. But I think this should be a warning signal to our faith-based leaders and to all Christians everywhere that you've got to ratchet this thing up we've got to continue to preach to be fearless, because we're kind of getting to a tipping point in the world, are we not? It's very odd what's going on around the world, isn't it?
Well, I think that what you see is a kind of very powerful attempt from evil forces to completely destroy, yeah. I mean, God's order, yeah. God's word, God's people, everything that has to do with God, the true
Amen.
God.
Amen. Amen.
So there is this very intensive attack or intense attack on everything that has to do with the true God. Yeah. And we see that everywhere. And, you know, some people like to say, well, we're living in the end of times. I don't know about that, because you cannot predict that. I mean, scriptures doesn't really tell anything about it, except that there will be some signs. And many people I know from different Christian denominations, they would tell me that they really think that we are living in the last or in the end of times. I would say maybe in the end of one epoch, maybe not the end of times, that it means that we cannot go on like this. There has to be some kind of confrontation between good and evil. And we know, if we have faith, that evil cannot win, but they're trying. For instance, Christ say that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. But why does he say that? Because he knows that it will try. So this is what we are witnessing, that, you know, the gates of hell is really trying to prevail and will try to even infiltrate the churches. So evil is everywhere. But it is the consequence of our apostasy, because the West, who used to be the heartland of Christianity, has now completely abandoned the faith and is promoting, you know, an ideology that is totally against God's order. I'm talking about same-sex marriages, the gender ideology, all these things, which is completely opposite the created world order by God. So there is, you know, this kind of revolt against God. We're trying to make a revolution where we even don't want to accept the sex that we are born with, which is completely against nature and God's order. Yeah. So you see that everywhere, and it's going, you know, worldwide. It's globally.
So the CBN, the Christian Broadcast Network, they report this even. Across Europe, there has been a growing rise in attacks on churches. Countries like France and Germany have seen a spike in violent vandalism, desecrating cherished churches and Christian symbols in recent months and years. And just to put in perspective here, The German news site, PI News, come out and say every day in France, two churches are desecrated. They report over 1,000, in fact, 1,063 attacks on Christian churches or symbols like crucifixes, icons, statues, and so on and so forth, just in the 1 year, which was a 17% increase, by the way, from the year before. And so as you start to look at this, and another point here is the Middle East Forum reports that attacks on Catholic churches, again, in France, same thing, since the start of the year, have included smashed statues, broken crosses, and demolished tabernacles, and just a mess. So let's talk specifically in these next few minutes about what is the reason. I want people to understand you are in Europe right now, and I want you to explain, why is Europe experiencing this increased war on Christianity?
Well, I think it's because there is a hatred against God, against love. Because it's very strange that churches who, I mean, Christians and churches who are doing no harm to anybody, nobody is harmed by the church, and yet they are witnessing those massive attacks and vandalizing, and even that they are put on fire. It is a spiritual war, like I said before, because there is no obvious reason for this, because nobody did anything wrong. Nobody hurted anybody, nobody violated anybody. So it's simply a spiritual hatred against good. And this is what is like almost mysterious. You don't understand what's going on. Why do they hate the church so much that they want to vandalize and decapitate statues of Our Lady, like in Ireland and things like that? It's simply completely unreasonable. And that's because it is spiritual. So it is simply hatred against everything that God stands for, the true God, Jesus Christ, the Christian church, which is because evil hates the light, hates love, hates everything that comes from God. And this hatred is obviously increasing.
Interesting, yeah. When we say they or them or evil, I'd like to get a little more specific, and I'd like to do it this way here. A January 2017 study stated Islamic extremist attacks on Christians in France rose by 38%. And we're talking the numbers again, went from 273 attacks to 376. And we've seen that. We've seen it in Germany. We've seen it in a lot of these countries. The UK is a perfect example here. And this is most interesting here. Now, is that the cause and reaction? I mean, what I'm saying, when we talk about evil forces, we say they. Are we talking, who is they? Is it Islamic extremists or is it something else?
Not necessarily. Of course, it might be Islamic extremists, but I think it's also satanic groups. There are a lot of occult practices going on among, you know, normal European circles. And they would, you know, make some kind of, you could also say it would be cultural Marxist, Freemasons, people who are against the church. And it's growing. I mean, there are so many occult practices that people are experiencing. Or they try to, somehow they are involved in some kind of occult practices. If you talk to priests, especially exorcists, it seems that it's really growing a lot. And they have this natural, I would almost say, hatred against the church. For instance, it's not unusual that people try to go for a Catholic mass and steal the host during communion, because they use it for black masses. It means that they're trying to humiliate Christ in the bread, in the consecrated bread, because they know it's real. I mean, many Christians do not believe it's real, but those people who are dealing with occultism, they know it's real. So they use it for black masses. So priests are very, very careful to see that people actually take the host into their mouth and eat it before they leave the church, and they don't bring it out of the church because it's going to be used for black mass. So I am afraid that this kind of spiritual circles that are dealing with occultism is actually increasing, growing. And they would feel a natural hatred against the church, and they would feel like vandalizing. So it's not only Muslims. I wouldn't say that. It could easily be people who are who are just against the church for spiritual reasons.
Yeah, yeah. That is really well said. And thank you for bringing to light that. I like your explanation there and how you address it more as evil forces. And you identify the evil forces could be cults, could be all kinds of things. And just evil is what we're saying here. I like the way you correct the record because, again, back to fear. Fear has been oftentimes just taken out of context, and that's what Eben is addressing as well. Or we've let fear take the best of us rather than to be fearless. What we have to do is be more fearless, and that comes through faith, I wish to say to you. I want to read you this quote here as well from, again, I love looking back at Alexis de Tocqueville, Democracy in America, again, and his contribution to the world. Let me read this to you as we take a pause here and come back and talk about the war on Christianity, and I want to talk about Jesus Christ in just a moment as well. I have something interesting to share with you there. But let me read this to you here. Shall I think that the Creator has made man so as to leave him to debate endlessly in the intellectual miseries that surround us? I cannot believe this. God prepares a firmer and calmer future for European societies. I am ignorant of his designs, but I will not cease to believe in them merely because I cannot penetrate them. And I would rather doubt my enlightenment than his justice.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are speaking about the war on Christianity. We're speaking about evil, speaking about that force of evil versus good. We're speaking about being fearless or being or having fear, fearful. I mean, that's really the message here and where that fight is. And, you know, the fight of good versus evil, it filters through our entire lives and our every being and the decisions we make, but it filters in from our leaders. And when I asked Eben Trenholm the question about, you know, fear and fearless, and she explains the forces of evil, they're real and they're out there and they continue to manipulate the masses is what's happening. So part of our charge here, people, is for us to become, use our faith to become more fearless. And that's, I think, that's my takeaway, Eben, from our early part of the conversation here. You agree with that assessment? I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, we definitely have to agree, have to strengthen our faith if we want to overcome this evil. Because people right now, they're very obsessed with politics. They think that the politics is the solution to everything and some politicians will fix it. But it's not going to happen because it's like I've said in the beginning, this is not just a political struggle. It is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
So you have to go back to the traditional Christianity, which is talking a lot about spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. And will give you a lot of good advices, what to do and how to strengthen your faith. How to pray, how to fast, you know, do all these things, do penance, things like that. So we have to come back to the tradition to build up the strength to overcome this evil and to face this evil. Mm-hmm. Because I saw the other day a picture from Poland where one, I think he was just a teenager, there was a kind of LGBT march coming in front of him with all the rainbow flags and all these things. And he just, you know, stepped out into the road in front of this huge crowd and he held up a cross to stop them. And, you know, it is a very powerful image because it is only the cross that has the power to stop all these ideologies and Islam. Remember that Islam is an anti-Christian religion because it denies the divinity of Christ. It denies that Christ is the Son of God. He's only a prophet with good, you know, good values and just, you know, a nice guy. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it's only the cross that can deal with this evil, because when Christ was on the cross, he actually took upon himself all the evils of the world. It was Satan who put Christ on the cross. So he defeated that. So if you want to, if you want to defeat evil, you have to look at the cross, and you have to give yourself to the cross, and also Christ, who, and I think it is Saint Paul who says, "When I'm weak, I'm strong." I mean, we are weak because we're human beings, but we can do all things in Christ and have his strength. So you get a lot of strength from the cross, because Christ took upon himself all these sufferings and all these evils. So it's very important to meditate in front of the cross, because Christ was dealing with evil on the cross.
Yeah. You have such wisdom, I have to tell you, just listening to you right now, just incredible wisdom. I mean, people can take so much from the lessons that you teach here, even really, truly. And I like the way you preface the government and politics, and the way you put that in perspective. And you put it in really good perspective, because I tell people all the time that, you know, government does not have the answers to your problems. I mean, the answers are more societal in nature, and they are faith-based. And here we are, and you say the same thing, but you say it far better and very eloquent in the way you put it out there. And I want people to hear that, because too many people out there think that government can truly fix this stuff, and they can't. They're not the means to an end here. So the reference of the cross is very important, because that was a point of our earthly beings that we are. We're evil. We're, as you say, I like the way you say, well, evil put Jesus Christ on the cross. Very interesting. And it makes us think again, because humanity got to its lowest possible point. And so just when you think evil is going to win, what I take from that even is this: just when any of us think evil is going to win because we're on the cross, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Sometimes that's a means to a different end. And sometimes there's a purpose and a point to what's happening, and there's a bigger road ahead. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is the hope that is in the Christian faith, that when you think, now I'm totally defeated, everything is lost, there is the resurrection. There's always the hope in God. And I think we have forgotten this hope, and we have sort of relied too much on our politicians. Because right now, I think it's because the faith has gone out of our society. There is nothing about politics. Politics is actually the highest in our society. And it's really very, makes us very miserable. Because like you said, they don't have the answers, and they don't have the means to fight this evil. Because yes, you can make a war, but this is, you know, a different kind of war in our time. Of course, evil was always present in the world, and also in former wars. But I think it has been intensified in our time, because evil is really disguising as something good, like being tolerant and, you know, all this freedom we're talking about. But we have completely forgotten about good and evil, and we have mixed it all up. So today, good is evil and evil is good. So it confuses people a lot. People are very confused about right and wrong and good and evil. And this is, you know, the trick of the devil, that he has been confusing all of us, because nobody believes in the devil anymore. So he has a free hand, you know, to do whatever he wants.
Wow. 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 I mean, so Satan has free reign to do what he wants. So think about that, people, in terms of this, that, you know, with even what she says there, I mean, think about the fact that they're controlling all of our media airwaves. They're controlling, you know, which is why, you know, it's why myself and my establishment's why I'm anti-government, anti-media, anti-establishment, for a lot of the reasons that even just says right there. And so Satan has free reign. So today what's happening is Satan is running the airwaves. He's running free reign to do, this is another persecution here. This is another cross moment is what's happened. That's what we've got here, another cross moment for this planet here, for humanity, for the people. And until they wake up and see what's going on, this is what's happening. And this is just common sense. I'm not, listen, even I just want people to know, I don't want to be preachy, I'm not trying to get preachy here or act like I'm some, you know, better than thou kind of thing. That's not the point here, you see? It's more than that. I want to read you something, even. I want to read to listeners this here. And this was in CBN, but this is really good. It says, Jesus warned his disciples and explained why there exists a hatred for Christianity. I want you to give me your thoughts on what I'm going to read you right now. And friends, this is from John 15, verses 18 through 25. Listen to these words carefully, please. There's so much you'll get out of this. And I quote, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Again, John 15, 18 through 25. How profound is that even?
Yeah, it's very prophetic, because this is actually what is happening.
Exactly, yeah.
So this is actually a proof that Jesus is telling the truth, because we see that this is happening to us. And I think you're right that the Christian church globally is on a kind of road to Calvary. And I do believe that Christ will resurrect his church in the end. But it's going to be a tough time, because we see now that evil is really set to destroy everything, like when Christ went on the cross. They want to kill him, want to make the end of him, everything that he stands for. But they couldn't kill him, because he resurrected. And the church, you know, started to grow after that. So we will see that again. But you have to have perseverance and endurance as a believer today, because you really need to believe in this hope that it will not be the end. But we are just in a very, very dark time right now, where we see that evil has the upper hand somehow. And God allows this for a reason. This is, you know, the mystery within Christianity, that sometimes God allows this for a bigger purpose. So we don't have the mind of God. We don't understand God, because God is all-powerful. He's almighty. So he knows what he's doing, and he's allowing this for some reason, maybe to glorify him later on and make things look even more glorious. I don't know. We just have to have faith, and we need to, you know, keep up the good spirit and hope, which is the basic message of Christianity. It's hope.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it possible that he's doing this to teach humanity a lesson again?
Well, God is just. He's very merciful, but he's also just. And there will be some consequences of your actions. Mm-hmm. And what we see now is not God's punishment, so to say, but it is a consequence of our own actions. Like Jesus says, that whoever do not believe in me has already judged himself. So it means whatever you believe in, there will be some consequences. There will be some consequences through your actions. So when we have abandoned the faith, since it started with the French Revolution and so forth, we have had this enlightenment idea that we could do without God, which is, you know, pride, so to say. It is the sin of pride, that you think you can make a better world without God. Now we have tried that for more than 200 years, and now we have to deal with the consequences, so to say. And I think it's very interesting that right now that Islam is invading, so to say, the Western world, because it is an anti-Christian religion. So we're sort of inviting this by our own apostasy. We are inviting, we have created this spiritual vacuum after we abandon the Christian faith totally. So it leaves an open space for Islam to enter Europe and the US. And this is what's happening. So it is, you know, it is a consequence of our own spiritual state of mind that we have been rejecting God. So if we don't want God in a good way, we're going to have God in a very bad way, which I think is Islam, because it is a perversion of everything that is Christian. Because they have a lot of values that are resembling Christian values, but it's just, you know, it is governed by fear. It is ruled by fear and submission, where we have love, we have mercy, we are able to call God a father, where Allah is a master and you are a servant or a slave even. So it's a completely different perspective. So I think it's interesting that Islam is now the fastest growing religion within Europe. Why? Right. It is a consequence of our Christian apostasy.
So what you say there just now is a big statement when you talk about the fastest growing, and I think you said religion, but it's really, is it a religion? I mean, it's an anti-religion. I mean, what is it exactly?
Well, you would say it is a religion. At least it is a belief system.
Belief, so there you go, belief system. Maybe we should call it that and not a religion, because it doesn't sound right to me, you know, right?
No, but they are actually denying the love of God by denying Christ, because God's ultimate sign of love is in Christ. So they are rejecting love.
Let's take the temperature right now of Europe for us. Let's touch on that, please, because you have a good sense of that right now. Now, I've laid out some various facts and thoughts about what's happening against Christianity throughout Europe. What's your sense right now? Talk to us about the progress or lack of progress. Where are we at right now in the fight throughout the European continent? Because it looks like it. Sometimes we get the sense that there is some glimmer of hope, maybe, but then it's defeated sometimes. Where are we at right now, even in the fight?
I think it looks a little grim, so to say, to be honest with you, because I think that the cultural Marxists, or this identity politics, is really taking over. And it's getting more and more difficult to express Christian views, because this is very dominating. But I also see that people now start to understand that there is this spiritual vacuum. And if we don't come back to the Christian faith, it's going to be even worse. So I think a lot of people are waking up a little bit. But the big question is, do they have the courage to go against the currents?
Sure.
And the problem is that if you do that, you can lose your job. You can lose your friends. You will be socially marginalized, ostracized, and you need to have a strong faith to be able to withstand that. So if you do, because it's like in the Soviet Union, people who disagreed with the Kremlin ideology, the communist ideology, they had to clean the floors even though they had been to university and that they were academics, because they couldn't get any jobs. And we are facing the same situation, that if you go against the cultural Marxist agenda, you can get a job and your friends will leave you. Maybe even your family will turn their back on you, because they're simply too afraid themselves to be socially marginalized. So it's very difficult for many people to, they might agree just if you have a conversation, but really to live out those values and to stand firm, that's another thing. That's another story.
Yeah.
So I think already in Europe, we are heading towards some kind of totalitarian system. For instance, people who have the wrong opinions, suddenly they disappear from Facebook or YouTube. So you got to be careful what you say. So yeah, on the paper, in the law, we have free speech, but practically speaking, we don't have, because people would regulate themselves and they will keep silent not to risk anything.
That's right. That's right. I've been talking about that point in recent times, even this whole free speech is, it's really trickery. We really don't have the free speech we suggest that we have. And some of it, as you mentioned up front a bit ago earlier in our broadcast, about the politically correct, which you and I've discussed in prior times here, and here's the point I want to make. What comes to my mind is Trojan horse. When I think of Trojan horse, I think about about a lot of political leaders that are in a point of trust in positions. When you say, well, politics may or may not matter. Well, it matters when they are guarding the den and they are giving out policy and creating this media illusion. And the media, of course, is Satan's megaphone. So clearly the media has been, I mean, they've totally been taken over and they are Satan's megaphone. And clearly they put out there and posture all kinds of hate and ridicule, and they confuse people even is what's happening. But what worries me now is with all this politically correct talk, as you say, and you also mentioned, very important, the fearless, that people have fear, and we have to be fearless. We have to have faith. To have faith, we got to be fearless people. So if we're going to do that, but here's the problem even, with all that said, the leaders are in these various leaders are in places of power, and they're being incentivized and encouraged and really applauded by the media elites, which again are Satan's disciples. Let's just call it what it is, okay? And so now Satan's disciples, who have all the airwaves, are out there wreaking havoc on society. Now, the problem is a lot of these leaders are in political positions or high-end positions of authority somewhere. And that's, I think, where society is today. And I think that's part and parcel the problem now of what's happening even. And this is now filtering into society. So we have this politically correct, but a lot of it is that we've got the wrong people in power. And this power is now, that's where I think we have a fight ahead. How do we have a cleansing? Now, here's the tough question, even. How do we have a cleansing of these evil leaders in not only, well, across the board, in positions of power, political, media, and otherwise?
The most important thing and the first step is to be very loyal to the concept of truth. Because you can't deal with these people if you don't know what is the truth. And the only way you can discern what is the truth is by going back to read scriptures and to have a personal relationship with Christ. Otherwise, you won't be able to understand what is the truth in our time, because people are so deceived and they're so confused. First of all, you need to understand what is the truth. And when you know what is the truth, you got to say it. You got to have the courage to say what is the truth, because what brought the Berlin Wall down? The truth. And John Paul II, the Pope, he went on free pilgrimages to Poland during the Cold War. And he repeated over and over again, do not fear. Seek the truth, because you are not what they tell you that you are. You are somebody else. You're Catholics, you're Christian. This is your identity. This is also a matter of identity. So it means that you got to know who are you. And you will only know who you are in Christ. So you need to go back to that source. Then you can deal and with what's going on in society, and you will get the strength to be like a warrior for Christ. You know, Christ is not just this soft, nice guy. He's a warrior, a spiritual warrior. So you need to be in alliance with him and his truth. Otherwise, I don't see any other options or chances to defeat these people.
Yeah. More Voice of a Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
Well,
bring on, introduce you again to Eben Tranholm. She's an expert on the crossroads of religion and politics. You've been hearing her voice over the past hour, friends, and she's a strong voice, and I think one of, you know, she's a thinker. I love thinkers, as you know. She's a thinker, and she's able to take something and step back from it and really look at it in a different way. That's important we do that today, people, for all of us. So I'm thrilled to have her and bring her here on the program here. I want to read this here to you from the Jeremiah Project, if I might please. And they say, never before in American history have Christians experienced the war on Christianity of being hated for following Jesus Christ as they are today. Now, I want to talk about a particular flashpoint that changed history briefly with you, Eben. And they go on to say this: in recent decades, we have seen worldwide an escalation of this hatred of Christianity in the form of militant radical Islam. And as Eben says, people, let me qualify this, there are many forms of evil. She's already qualified that in a very good way. So if you've learned anything, you've learned that as well. Evil comes in all kinds of forms, people. But let's talk about this one here next. Because it's a belief system that is not the right belief system for Christianity. It is against Christianity and part of the persecution of Christians worldwide that is happening right now at this very moment. Now, they say while this Islamic jihad has been exploding for years throughout the Middle East and Europe, it burst on the scene in America on September 11, 2001. Now, that is a moment, that's a flashpoint that comes to my mind, people. But here's where they go on that I want to talk to you even about, is this wolf in sheep's clothing I'd like to have your opinion on. It's this: close U.S. allies, Saudi Arabia, has no religious freedom. All citizens must adhere to the Sunni Islam. Others are imprisoned, tortured, detained for engaging in other religious activities. Apostasy is punishable by death. That's always the case, people. Apostasy is always punishable by death across the board here. And we're not just talking about Saudi Arabia. This problem is, this is all over the place where apostasy throughout the Middle East is, it's death. I know I've got friends who are in that position, people we've had on the programs on our platform. So there are no public worship services for non-Muslims. Anyone who does mission work or converts Muslim faces expulsion, jail, or execution. And it's on and on. And so my question is, as we look at a lot of these societies that we have, that, you know, they're supposedly an ally, and there's a lot of countries like this, actually. I mean, China's the same thing. The persecution of the humanity and the human rights record in China is despicable. I mean, it's beyond despicable. It's hate. It's evil. But since those attacks on 11, I mean, on 9/11 here, where the hijackers, you know, did profound damage and scarred the country forever, that was a moment of truth for America in a warped sort of way. That was I guess I'd say this to you, Eben. You might even call that a cross moment, where it was a moment of truth and reckoning that, are we going to be better after that or worse after that? So a couple of things here. When we talk about countries like Saudi Arabia and many others, aren't they kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing? We have to deal with them politically as a nation, but what's your take on that?
I think it's very obvious that they're evil because...
Well, it's not obvious to everybody. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, because you can see what's going on in their countries, like the way the Chinese political leaders are treating Christians. It's awful. And what's going on in Saudi Arabia is completely inhuman. So it's obvious for everybody, but unfortunately we have this ideology of tolerance.
That's it.
So it means that we don't really, we're just closing our eyes because we're tolerant. And that is evil too, that we don't, you know, trying to stop this evil, because we could, I mean, we have all the means in the West to stop these evils, but we don't have the moral conviction that we should do it. And this is the problem, because we have this completely fake ideology of tolerance.
Yeah,
which is another evil.
What I wanted to talk to you about when you just said tolerance, or we have too much tolerance, and you're saying that's evil as well. I like the way you put that out there. What I was going to discuss with you now is, we were having troubles throughout America as well, even, is there's a compassion from our leaders. Back to the Trojan horse I mentioned to you at the previous segment here, that a lot of these leaders are Trojan horses. They really are the force of evil. And there's a compassion for Islam mom, and there's a politically correct conversation going on out there. I'll give you an example.
Exactly. There is this kind of strange holy alliance between political correctness and Islam.
Yes.
And you know why? Because both hate Christianity. That's why they're friends, even though it doesn't make sense from a political point of view, because they're completely in a kind of contradiction. I mean, whatever the leftists want, that's not what the Muslims want. Yeah. But there are something that really unites them, and this is the hatred against the Christian culture. Mm-hmm. So the leftists, the culture Marxists, use Muslims to do the dirty job, to kill Christians, you know. So they don't do anything about it because they want to get rid of Christianity. So that's why they are in a sort of alliance. And I think they believe that Islam is just another sort of Christianity. So in the end, they will be able to make them more secular when they have done the dirty job. But of course, this is the irony, this is diabolical irony, that of course Islam will kill all those leftists in the end and, you know, rule the world.
It's just what we're talking about right now, Eben, is... it is where the rubber meets the road on all of this. As an example, here in the United States right now, there's a lot of tolerance or compassion for letting children pray for Islam in the schools so they can have prayer rooms and safe spaces. Yet Christianity cannot do that. They've been deemed out of there. And as they continue to pull God out of everything throughout America, yet there's a compassion and a tolerance. So in the name of tolerance and politically correct, we are given the source of evil. There's something warped about this all now that we're just identifying right now, even, and that warpness is penetrated society, and people are accepting and buying into this, and it's out there now in the classrooms, and our kids are being brainwashed in our education system. We're having a real trouble here and a problem with education in America. The education system has been hijacked by Marxists and socialists and, I mean, evil sources of people, even, and it's penetrated society here in America.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, evil or the political correctness actually invites evil in this false cloak of, you know, tolerance and, like you said, compassion and mercy and openness, inclusion, all these words, which is completely distorted Christian concepts, because it used to be good Christian values, but now they have become hijacked, like you said, from political correctness and people who are against Christianity. So they're using these concepts to destroy the Christian culture and invite evil. It's very diabolical.
Yeah. In many ways, it's diabolical, to say the least. In many ways, the accommodation of Islam has taken... It's kind of caused an increased policing of Christian activities and beliefs. So it's worked in a reverse way. In other words, as they continue to pull our rights and our belief systems from us, they continue to push the anti, that it's okay, you need to have compassion, you need to have tolerance. Why can't people see this even? Why is it so clear to you and I right now, but people cannot see this? Why?
I think there are more people than you and I, Malcolm, who are able to see this, but they just don't know what to do about it. Because it seems like it's growing so fast, this ideology. So people, I feel like, completely powerless. They don't know what to do about it.
As a human society, what else can we really do? What's the charge here? What are the lessons? What's the bottom line, Eben Trenholm, that we need to do in the West, please?
Like I said before, come to terms with what is the truth and tell it. You have to come to terms with that this is built on a complete lie. Of course, I mean, people who think that you can just choose your own gender, it's completely out of reality. It has nothing to do with reality. So you need to come to terms with truth, and then you need to find the strength to tell the truth to your family, to your children, to your colleagues, your neighbors, because this is the way it starts. It doesn't come from, you know, politics. Yeah. It comes from you as a single individual, that you stand up for the truth and you don't have any fear. And you, first of all, that you educate your children and you speak with your family and your colleagues, your friends, and then it will spread. So you don't have to become a politician to do this work. You can just, you know, start to discern the truth yourself.
I need everybody to take something powerful from this and feel, I think the key even is for people to feel empowered. They need to feel empowered, right?
All exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. And you, yeah, that's very important because I think people feel that they're not empowered and that's why they're kind of passive because it's simply too enormous to do anything about. It's like a big mountain you can't climb. That's but right. It is possible because you can stand up for the truth in your own life. So it means, for instance, the Soviet Union, the former Eastern European countries, the way that they dealt with communism was by telling the truth to each other. Because it was truth in the end that made everything fall apart. Because they could not build this empire or this kingdom on a lie. So you don't have to respect lies. You have to respect the truth. And the truth, like Christ says, will set you free. If you make my word your home, that's very important. If you make my word your home, the truth will set you free. It means we have to go to Christ first because he will tell us what is the truth. And then truth will set us free. And it's very important because this was exactly what brought the Soviet Union down. And who could have believed that? In my childhood here in Scandinavia, nobody, you know, could even in the wildest imagination have believed that the Soviet Union would fall apart. But it did, because people stand by the were you know, seeking the truth and stand and stood by it. So it's very, very important.
And the other thing is we continue to manipulate society for the 1 or 2%. You mentioned gender. There's a lot of gender identity confusion that people are buying into in the schools and in our system. And yet we continue to change our rules of engagement. And this is probably more so. We need to talk about this another time even. Don't you find that society is changing their rules just to please the 1%? And doesn't that seem to be happening everywhere? Isn't that a problem?
Yeah, but that's because that the elite and the academia is actually the one that holds the positions where they are in power. So it means that they are able to control the agenda. So maybe we need a new revolution because that's what people have always, you know, done when they were, you know, really dissatisfied with their leaders. You know, they went out into the streets and they protested. But people seem to have lost that kind of, you know, will to change things. They're just passive. I don't know. So people should, you know, go into the streets and just say, well, if you don't change these things, we're going to, you know, cut your head off or whatever, like they did before in time. They had more energy, more power to change things in a way. So I think we should just not be too afraid. Again, I think it's fear because it's actually a very, you know, small elite that is controlling the whole world. But I think they have built up a very clever economical system. So we are dependent on them for our own wealth. And this is what is holding people back.
Those are wonderful. Those are strong words to end on right there. You're listening to the voice of Eben Tranholm. And what a blessing. What a blessing for all of us. And just a privilege to have her here with me. I learned so much over the last hour, people, and feel empowered right this moment, actually. I hope you do as well. I really, truly do. It's a fight of a lifetime. And today's broadcast, I mean, this brings it back to how we started this whole series of good versus evil. Let me think about it on the voice of a nation. It's important what we're talking about right here. If there's anything else you take from this, please play it back and listen to this thing when you can, when it does go to podcast a couple of weeks from now. In the meantime, again, Voice of a Nation is daily, every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, of course. You hear it anywhere in the world, friends, on iHeartRadio, on Apple, Android, or Alexa, on the apps, of course. I want to thank Eben Tranholm for being part of this journey today with all of us. And I just please take that empowerment from this talk today and just keep that with you always. Do something with that. Patriotism is in itself a kind of religion. It does not reason, but it acts from the impulse of faith and sentiment. May the power be with all of you today, friends. It's time to get involved and get loud.